Hi, Christy. Good to see
Hi.
You.
You too.
So before we jump in, I'll just introduce myself for folks who may be watching or listening. Claire Goldsmith, MSON's executive director. I am so thrilled to be joined by one of our MSON steering committee members, Christy Gibbs. Christy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks so much, Claire. I'm excited to be here with you and have this conversation. Christy Gibbs, I'm the head of school at Brownell Talbot here in Omaha, Nebraska, and looking forward to our conversation today.
And it is your spring break, so an extra special thank you for taking some time to chat. So when I heard that you had effectively reset your tuition at Brownell Talbot, I just had to hear more. So let's start with kind of setting the scene. Like, why did you start talking about your tuition and perhaps changing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks. Brownell Talbot is the only independent school in the state of Nebraska, specifically here in Omaha, and we have a pretty competitive academic market. Like most places, our competitors are the public school, which are rated pretty high here in Nebraska, as well as then the parochial schools in the area. So for my 7 years here at Brownell Talbot, we've talked a lot about our position in the market for education, and our price point is double of any other tuition-bearing institution in the area. And we're not at capacity. So we've talked for a long time, how do we grow our enrollment while staying financially responsible and competitive within the marketplace? So tuition reset, tuition has always been in the background of the conversation, and the time just really became ripe right now. And during COVID, we saw a lot of wonderful successes. While other schools were maybe seeing enrollment declines the first year, so after we finished March of 2020, We saw a bit of a decline like everybody else starting the 2020-2021 school year. But this past year, our enrollment of new students doubled. Annually, we usually bring in about 60 new students. This year, we brought in 120. So the conversation became even more real. Where were those students coming from? Why were they choosing Brownell Talbot? And we saw that the bulk of our new students were coming to us at the lower school and middle school, and we weren't seeing a lot of new enrollment in the upper school. So digging into what were those barriers, what were the inhibitors, and why, what was preventing people from choosing Brownell Talbot as their place for upper school?
I mean, that's so interesting because we, in the enrollment management world, we sometimes talk about this erosion of the base, which is a decline in lower school enrollment. So what was causing the increase in lower school enrollment?
Yeah, from what we can tell, and as we've talked to families, a lot of it has to do with our COVID protocols, I would say, and our ability to be flexible and nimble and a trusted small environment. And so our preschool, our early years program, is at capacity. We have no more room for growth. And we have a couple other areas within the lower school that are also at capacity, which is a new thing for us here at BT. Even though we've been in existence for 158 years, we have not been at capacity. And so we're seeing parents coming to us for the reputation, for the outcomes that students are seeing, and believing in the mission, knowing, inspiring, and challenging all of our students, and the focus on a global mindset.
Can we take a detour and can you say a little more about the global mindset and the mission and kind of what makes your school unique and what people you think are responding to?
Yeah, I think, so many things I could share about that. We recently partnered with a Common Ground Collaborative and Kevin Bartlett, and we're kind of retooling and re-leaning into what it means to be an independent school. I know that sounds quite cliche, and many Malone schools are further along in this journey than we are, but being the only independent school in Nebraska, we've kind of stood up next to public schools in a more congruent way with them than other independent schools. And so really looking at how do we prepare students for their step beyond high school and connecting them to the world beyond just Nebraska and Omaha. And so identifying more with our diversity, partnering with the higher education institutions. We have a wonderful college and university system here, Creighton University, the University of Nebraska, Omaha, the UNL system, the medical community. And so utilizing their resources as well to sort of market to those individuals. Families who are looking for high quality education, and opportunities for students to engage in real world experiences. Again, something that sounds quite cliche, but those partnerships within the community, the MSON program is definitely a differentiator for us, and the ability for our students to take classes that wouldn't otherwise be offered to them and experiencing more of what the real world will offer, especially now that we're becoming more interconnected via Zoom and other platforms. Students working with learning right alongside individuals from across the country. When they get into the workforce, that'll be very much what they're experiencing. And so how to take what they're learning here at BT within our four walls and expanding that to sort of that educational platform across the country.
Great. Great to hear that MSON is such a differentiator for you, and that you really leaned into that idea of sort of students talking across difference and being in class with yeah. folks other places. So you're seeing this kind of increase in capacity in the lower school at the same time as it sounds like in other parts of the school, you know, that you were not at capacity and you're looking at your tuition compared to the rest of the market. Let's take a step back for a second. So who is in these conversations with you? Like when you start thinking about what we should do about tuition, who do you engage in that conversation?
Yeah, so that conversation has typically lived within our finance and investment committee of the board, you know, really talking through, and we've modeled and projected all kinds of different options. Right now, our tuition structure is different almost at every grade level. So your price point for early years is different than kinder, which is different than first, so on and so forth. We've made some shifts over time to make those exit points less dramatic of a difference. So your eighth grade and ninth grade tuition would be the same so that parents wouldn't be leaving us because of a tuition jump. So we've done some small things over time, incremental. And that's where it's really lived through this last 2 years and the COVID pandemic and some other things. Our enrollment and marketing committee of the board has really stepped up in some idea generation and figuring out ways to marketing. So we've had sort of this perfect alignment of committees within the board working with the school. So it's also our admissions director, our executive director of business and finance, our communications director, all of those individuals are also a part of these board committees. And really just talking through how are we marketing with some intentional marketing, which we knew we needed to build our pipeline, build our base. We saw wonderful growth within those divisions. And so we began to dig into where do we have opportunity and what might that look like? So really this most recent idea came from a board member. He is an entrepreneur at heart on our finance and investment committee, and he loves spreadsheets and loves running numbers. And so he spent some time over the Christmas break and started plugging in numbers and really looked at if we took our full pay, everything came back to net tuition revenue. And of course, our strategy wouldn't work for schools who are already at capacity. We have what you would say empty seats on our in our bus or on our plane or in our apartment complex. We have space. And one of our old models had been, you know, fill those seats. Some tuition is better than no tuition. And so discounting those seats would be an old model that we had really used. But when you do that, the younger the student is, when you discount that seat, the longer you have a discounted seat filled. And we were seeing some negative impacts of that over time. And so this last couple months really dug into where do we have the most capacity? We have the most capacity at the upper school. Where do we have our biggest competitors? And that's in the upper school. So looking at our data families who didn't choose Brown L. Talbot generally for upper school was because of one of two reasons: our size. Students were saying it's too small. We want more of a student body. We want more social engagement. We want, you know, more friends, if you would, or price point. What's the value proposition? How are you better than X private school down the street that's charging $12,000 and you're charging $22,000? Like, where is that differentiator? So we ran the numbers and came up with a plan, and we reset our tuition for the next year. And all of our upper school students, 9, 10, 11, 12, will pay $15,000 for tuition. So we did not touch the tuition structure for our early years through grade 8, but they received a 0% tuition increase. This is also off of last year, a 0% tuition increase. So our board allowed us to sort of grow our way out of the pandemic decline. And instead of cutting programs or cutting resources or cutting positions, kind of challenged us to say, fill those seats and go out and recruit the heck out of the community. We did, and we saw double enrollment of new students.
Got it. So much there. So just to make sure we have the numbers. So the lower school is staying the same as it's been, 0% increase. And do you know yet whether you'll keep a 0%? That's sort of TBD, I assume, for the future. Yeah. And then the reset is really grades 9 through 12. And that was from 22,000 down to 15.
Yeah.
Which is what percentage? Like,
$7,000. So yeah, so it's
30% increase, yeah, a decrease pretty much. Yeah. And how did you land at that number?
Well, our trustee actually came back with a slightly smaller number than 15,000, but our business and finance director and I kind of looked at what's the marketplace call for. So those competitors in the Omaha area charge between 10 to 13,000. So we wanted to still speak to kind of the quality of education that happens at Brown L. Talbot, and we didn't want it to. So we landed at 15 for, you know, a couple of different reasons. One is it's close to what the other competitors are, or a lot closer, and it allowed for a smaller number of growth within the upper school. Because this of course is also going to be dependent upon our ability to recruit additional new students within the upper school. And so that is our focus for our re-enrollment, our enrollment period right now, which is in full swing. We just opened it back up. And so that recruitment is really important right now.
And so how does your financial aid process and your tuition discounting process change with all of this?
Yeah, so net costs will remain pretty much the same for those families receiving financial aid. We've tried to, we shifted our policy a bit, and instead of kind of all filling the need for every family, we're trying to look at more of a cap of about 25% aid for families who are eligible for financial aid. So we're trying to get closer to a net tuition revenue piece that is more in alignment with roughly 75% of tuition. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So so I guess maybe take me through sort of, if I'm a parent, who's used to paying a certain amount, you know, I mean, what are you sort of telling me about what will change in my life?
Yeah. So if you were a parent who, let's say you have a freshman this year, and next year your freshman will be a sophomore, and your tuition obligation this year was $14,000. And so that would have given you an $8,000 aid package. We would say that your recalculated need based on the tuition restructure would only be $1,000 worth of aid. So your tuition obligation would remain that $14,000. You would not see any additional cost, but your aid would substantially decrease because it's been off the top.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. That seems really clear.
Yeah.
because I imagine a huge piece of this is sort of just how you communicate it, right? Change freaks people out. And I think, you know, we've seen a big push toward more clarity on pricing and transparency. And I imagine, I mean, do you imagine that this will also mean just fewer aid applications? And
I think until we go through at least a year cycle of it, I don't know if it'll necessarily impact the number of applications in the upper school, but I think a big part of the messaging, as you mentioned, was, you know, the long-term trajectory of our tuition at even a 1 or 3, you know, a 1 to 3% tuition increase over the next 5 to 10 years. Our early years students, those 3 and 4 year olds, their families could be experiencing, you know, $28,000 to $30,000 high school, upper school tuition. And we really felt like that was going to completely outprice the market for Omaha, Nebraska. So the reason why we started with the upper school is it would really impact the entire school community. So those parents of children in lower school or middle school will eventually see the fruits of this labor, and that the tuition at that level won't increase at such a high pace and rate.
Right. That makes so much sense. So how do you see this playing out so far? What has the response been?
Yeah, the response has been very positive. You know, a couple of questions that have come up, because our eighth grade tuition for next year will be $20,880. So it's, you know, just over $5,000 more than a senior's tuition. And so what we've talked about is how our middle school is different than other middle schools that are tuition bearing in the area. Our middle school is more of an upper school. So our middle school students are taught by upper school certified teachers, whereas most of the other middle schools in the area that are tuition bearing are connected to a lower school. So they have middle school certified teachers. So there's that differentiator. We've had some families, you know, I can think of one family who has a child in lower school and a daughter that will be transitioning to ninth grade next year. And, you know, almost tears in her eyes when we were talking about it, in that there's never been any question that their family will remain a Brownell Talbot family through eighth grade. But when you get to that ninth grade level, when tuition is substantially different than other high quality institutions in the area, there's that gut check of, can I financially afford it? Does it make most sense? College is closer on the horizon. Do I need to save for college? And she said, you know, by changing the tuition structure, it takes all questions off the table. We've always known BT is the best place for our family, but this doesn't make us have to make that financial decision and have to sit with that. So
it's a beautiful story. And how do you have data yet on how this is being seen in the marketplace in terms of recruiting all those new students that you're going to be out there looking for?
We don't have any concrete data yet. We just communicated this within the last probably 4 weeks, 3 weeks. We just opened up our enrollment last week, actually. What I will tell you is that one of our competitors, probably a week and a half to 2 weeks after we announced our tuition shift, they made an announcement about their financial aid and how they've shifted their tuition as well. So at least anecdotally, I'm able to say that our competitors are taking notice and looking at that as well. So we'll see how it pans out. You know, we have some financial stop gaps in it. You know, as we looked at building our budget, this did not account for any additional revenue from the development side. And so I think, you know, with new and additional students always comes the opportunity for some additional revenue from the development side. We also have a couple other strategies that can help us, you know, in the short term, as we level out those enrollment periods and recruitment. So if we don't hit our recruitment numbers this first year, it won't break the bank. We'll still be on a positive trajectory. And so I have no reason to believe that over the next 2 years, we're not going to see great success with growing enrollment in the upper school and having a solid foundation for our tuition reset in the middle school and then lower school to come.
That's great. And you certainly hear about schools who have either kept tuition lower than the market rate or who have lowered their tuition and who have seen an increase in development, because you can make the argument to full pay families that if they were willing to pay that 22 before, they could make up the gap or the amount that they're saving on tuition in the annual fund. And I don't know if you're planning to make that argument, but I'd certainly.
Of course. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Many families, I'm sure, are so excited about this for what it means for the school and for the community. And that's something they're going to get behind and want to support. So what can other schools learn from your process and from where you've landed? And I know that, you've told me Omaha is really different from a lot of other markets, but I think there are a ton of lessons here, nevertheless.
Oh, gosh, I'm kind of hesitant to say what can you learn until I know. I think, well, everybody will learn whether or not we're successful probably in a year or two. So we'll learn a lot of what we can or can't do. I think what for me has been really impactful is the power of a group of trustees working together on a common goal and mission. And, 7 years ago, that wasn't the case necessarily. We've always had amazing trustees, but they're engaged in a much different level right now in truly looking at helping the school come together. So leaning on those experts and leaning into being an independent school and being able to make changes quickly. I mean, we've been talking about tuition resets for years, but really the data came together, mid-December. We had a couple of trustee meetings mid-January, and we rolled out the decision January 28th. So a lot of quick decisions can be made and people can come together when really given a strong task. And that's been a lot of fun to work with individuals here on campus to get it done.
And it sounds like it was the right timing, the right people, and also the right leadership. I mean, I have to hand it to you. This is not easy stuff to do. And I look up to you enormously and give you so much credit for making this change in your school and for kids and being able to provide an excellent experience, hopefully to more students in your market, and keep those families who already love you. So bravo. Well, we're so excited to see, what happens, and maybe we can do a part two and circle back.
That would be great. I would love to. Yeah. Thanks, Claire. It's always fun to see you.
Thank you so much, Christy. Thanks.